Okay, everybody. It looks like it's episode number 20, and we get a returning visitor to Festool Shop Talk. And it's this guy right here, Jason Hibbs of Bourbon Moth. You gotta listen to this or watch this episode because it's a hoot, and he gives us a really cool shop tour.
What he said.
Don't be nervous.
I'm trying to. Okay, got it?
Be okay. All right, folks, we're here with Shop Talk Live Festool, and my guest today on episode 20 is none other than.
Sedge isn't your real name, is it?
It's like a nickname.
It's part of my last name. Brian Sedgley is
Nobody would name their child Sedge.
No. But my last name's Sedgley, so I've been known as Sedge my whole life. Oh. I have.
Who calls you Brian? Anybody?
Marianne, I think she does. She still calls me Brian. That's my wife.
Oh. Okay.
So everybody goes out. What did they say at Festool one time? They said, how long have you been called Sedge? And I go, my whole life. They go, what do you mean? I go, well, my mother and father were Mr. and Mrs. Sedge. The whole gang.
Is that what people normally do, is shorten the Sedgley to Sedge?
Yeah. And then we did, my oldest brother was Big Sedge, Mark. My middle brother was, we called him just Sedge as well.
I'm going to call you Brian.
My sister?
Calls you
Sister
Brian?
Sledge.
Oh, sister.
We are family.
All right.
Okay, everybody, we are at Festool Shop Talk number 20 with none other than Jason Hibbs from or known as Bourbon Moth. Episode number 6 is when we first started talking.
Wow, you guys have done a lot.
Yeah, not bad. We do them every other week.
Yeah.
And now this is our traveling segment. So we're out here in Portland visiting, and we kind of said, well, let's go be a little bit of nosy and go see what our guy Jason's up to. So we're in a shop. He'll kind of give us a little bit of a tour today of what's going on around here. But lo and behold, I was a little surprised when I pulled up and I saw this beautiful new building. And then when I walked in, one of the questions I had for you was, where is that two-story built in?
Yeah, I'd call it two-story.
I watched that video that you and Keith Johnson did. And by the way, that was funny. it was like you were hooking them beautiful. I just love the way and your creativity when you do videos. And because Keith's a good friend. He was on a shop talk with us, I believe, too.
Yeah.
And and I walked in and I saw that. So I'm gonna kinda give you a few accolades and say, I was really impressed at how it all came together, but it was neat you guys showing the process, because if you've done any kind of production work, and I know this is a one-off built-in, guys, go see this video. It's absolutely amazing. I think it's called Doing a Built-In in 5 Days or something.
Something like that. World's biggest built-in.
World's biggest built-in.
Unconfirmed.
But I'm gonna tell you.
Unsubstantiated.
It's so impressive. So go watch it. And now I know where it lives. That's one of the questions I had. It's in your new building
on
your property.
It's getting painted on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Black.
What?
Black. What do you think about that? Except the top. The top's going to be oak.
Okay, the oak and the black. I like the. And what are you going to finish the oak with? Rubio?
It's already finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I didn't watch the whole video.
Okay.
But I liked I liked how you guys were just breaking down and showing the
process.
He says
he didn't watch the whole video. We finished the slab in the first 5 minutes.
No, you didn't.
Of that video.
No, you put it together. You didn't finish it, did you?
We finished it day one or day two.
You put
Maybe
the
it
finish.
Was halfway through you, the video.
Okay. But it was impressive because
So
I
thanks
don't...
for watching. The video.
But the thing is you show the process, and that's a lot of drawers, all the components to it,
yeah,
all the dominoing. And the process was perfect in my eyes because you get that oak slab glued up right in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I don't think people realize how many sides are on that, how many shelves. It's mind-boggling, the components that you have to process.
Well, and then one of the longest parts in doing cabinetry is usually installing it and scribing everything and getting it all to fit and in place and level. And that, I mean, when you go up that high, it's 17 feet, I think, of just cabinets, not including the top bump out and everything. Just makes it that much more difficult.
So what are your thoughts? It's a beautiful piece in there. that you got to go have it all painted black?
Well, I built it to be painted.
Right.
Right. I mean, if I didn't want it painted, I wouldn't have built it out of poplar and MDF. Right.
Still looks great.
So, oh, thanks.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I think it'll look good painted. I like painted.
Yeah. Huh.
The floors are wood. Yeah. The top is wood. So I think it'll be a good contrast.
It'll pop.
Yeah. The you know what I used to scribe those long 16-foot boards on the side of the wall?
Track saw.
The Festool Rotex.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you back bevel it first?
Uh-huh. So it was just really thin, and we had the scribe line, and I just used the Rotex. I kind of add an angle, and it worked great.
Man, I really got to watch all that video. Yeah.
You should. You missed that part, too. For watching the video, you sure missed a lot.
But your videos are not usually that long, are they?
That was the longest one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, because normally when I film a video and I dump it into my editing software, which is an app on my phone.
Really?
Yeah. It's like 6 to 8 hours of footage, and usually I'll come out with like a 30, 35-minute video. Mm. Keith is here for 4.5 days. I uploaded all the footage, and it was 21 hours of footage.
Wow.
That I had to compress down. So from 21 hours to 40 minutes, that's pretty good.
21 hours?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Just in the footage.
Huh.
So
I'm looking over in the shop, and I'm just freaking out. You got a Jeremiah Johnson post that.
Dude, that's not only a Jeremiah Johnson. The original Festool owners are like this. That's a German Jeremiah Johnson poster.
No way.
Yeah.
That's classic.
Oh, I know. That's far enough, Pilgrim.
And that was a Sidney Pollack film?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mine too.
Yeah. I grew up watching that with my dad, so I think there's some nostalgia there. But
for sure.
Drives my wife crazy because I watch it way too often, but she doesn't think I enjoy it because I'll just sit there and I quote the entire movie as I watch it.
Yeah.
Because I could probably quote it from start to finish without even watching it.
No kidding.
I've seen it that many times. Yeah.
That's such a classic movie.
Yeah. It really inspired me to get into muzzleloaders.
Yeah.
Because he's got a genuine Hawken.
No kidding.
And so I made a replica muzzleloader from that movie.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How long ago did you do that?
In high school. It was before. That's wow. Probably one of my first woodworking projects ever, actually. Yeah.
You're never ending, dude. I never realized that. That's so cool. What was the one of my favorite movies? I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Mean Girls.
No.
Legally Blonde.
Yeah. That's it. I love that. I love
Miss
that.
Miss Congeniality.
No, it was that Clint Eastwood movie. And
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
No.
Outlaw Josie Wales. That's a good one.
Everybody's got to have an edge.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a great movie, too.
That's
cool.
A good one.
So, I'm looking around, and I'm seeing shop sounds. How's that going? How many episodes you guys got now?
I think we just did 56.
Wow.
So,
wow.
It's going good.
That's with Keith and Nick.
Keith Johnson. Yeah, those guys are great. Keith was just out here doing the built-in with me.
Huh. How long do you go on those episodes?
Oh, we try and keep it around an hour, but what we've started doing is if you're a patron of ours, we do an after show.
Mm-hmm.
And the after shows have been as long as the regular show lately, so it's usually around 2 hours of recording time.
That's so cool. I was doing a little bit of research because I didn't want to be repetitive coming out here. And I had written down a few questions, and I was on your channel, your YouTube channel. Of course, I know if that's exploded for you. But what's unbelievable is you guys were doing, you and Craig were doing a live.
Mm-hmm.
And how often do you do those?
Every Monday.
Every Monday on YouTube, or?
We do one every Monday for our patrons,
mm-hmm.
and then once a quarter we open it up to everybody, just to show the world what they're missing by not being a patron. And you can go to patreon.com/bourbonmoth and sign up. Oh, Bourbon Moth Woodworking.
Bourbon Moth Woodworking.
There you go.
I was so impressed, and I was just bumping in and out of it through the course of time, and were you guys really drinking bourbon?
Yeah.
What time was that?
9 o'clock.
That is so cool.
Every Monday we do a whiskey of the week. So we highlight a new whiskey. And the reason we started doing that is because I wanted to figure out a way to make bourbon a business expense. And so now I can buy bourbon for the Whiskey of the Week, and it's all tax deductible. Suck on that, IRS.
In America, great. Yeah.
Okay, quick question. When I was watching that world's biggest built-in, unsubstantiated at the moment.
Unsubstantiated.
Okay, that's a big word for me, by the way.
Unsubstantiated.
What the heck happened? I saw a story. You almost got clamped, killed with a clamp.
Yeah, yeah. So we were clamping up the oak top for the countertop, and we're using the Pony F-style clamps, whatever they're called. And if you tighten those too tight, they get a little bend in them.
Yep.
And they had the rubber foots on the rubber pads. Normally I take the rubber pads off because I think they don't slip as easily without the rubber pads on there. The rubber pads are still on there, and it was clamped a little bit towards the top, and I had enough force in it that we were moving along, and I was standing right here, and right next to my face, that thing just popped off at probably 100 plus miles an hour, no joke, and just went,
it's crazy.
Yeah, even in slow-mo, it happens.
It's crazy, I couldn't believe it.
And I was shocked, it went right by my face.
Yeah.
I would have been like Bucktooth Bill for this day. I mean, I would have been missing teeth and had scars on my face.
You usually get kicked back on a table saw, not by a clamp.
I know, think of it. I've been pretty good, knock on MDF worktops, that I haven't had a lot of injuries in the shop. Can you imagine if my first major injury was a clamp? Clamp to the face.
I got clamped.
I really clamp your style.
Oh my God. It's whatever. Cool.
I'm just really impressed by that space next door, and that's where the world's biggest built-in is.
Yeah, unsubstantiated.
Well, don't we have Guinness coming out to...
No, actually, I put that on the title on YouTube, and somebody commented and was like, just to let you know, I've seen bigger.
Oh, no! Don't you just, like, okay.
Okay, it wasn't being serious. Whatever. It's just a big built-in.
People, I always say, man, just everybody relax, would you?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
So, over that space, what's it for?
So it's actually for a TV show we're working on right now with Magnolia Network.
Oh.
Yeah, good old Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Have you met them?
I've talked to Joanna on the phone, unrelated to this, actually. It was something else.
Wow.
Completely random. My wife and I, when I was in college, we started a textile printing company. And we started selling to retail spaces, and she was one of our first retail clients that ordered our textiles from us. So she'd call and place orders over the phone, and I talked to her. This is before she was big and HGTV and all that stuff. And then she got her show. And it's funny because I would talk to her on the phone. I knew she was from Texas. She kind of had a southern draw. And in my mind, I don't know why, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I pictured kind of like a plumper white woman with blonde bouffant hair. And then when her show came out, I was like, wow, she's a skinny Asian lady. Did not see that coming.
Yeah. My wife is addicted to Fixer Upper.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. She goes, what's his name?
Chip?
Chip. Yeah. So I am so out of it. I don't watch TV. She has to inform me on all of it.
And yeah.
I always think, wow. And then I watched part of the episode. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. He loves Demolition. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like me.
Who doesn't love Demolition?
Oh, I love Demolition, man. So that's cool. So you're going to be doing a TV show.
Yeah.
What's it about? You?
It's about me. Right now we're filming the pilot. And so there's no guarantee it will become a full-fledged show. I think the way this works is the pilot goes out. And then as long as that does well, it'll move on to the rest of the episodes. But the general premise of the show is each episode would be taking a space that's somewhat normal, but doing something really cool and over the top to it. So that's why this space is so huge. And there's kind of going to be a little bit of a space observatory vibe to this one.
Cool.
So there's different levels and towers and lookouts, and there's going to be a telescope that goes in there at the end of it.
Because what's really cool, it's just a cool space to be in.
Yeah.
It's got a good vibe to it, just walking in, all the natural light coming in and those huge windows.
But ultimately, it's also going to be kind of our office for the business, and we're putting a recording booth out there for voiceovers and
That
stuff. Yeah.
Way cool. Keep growing, man.
Keep pushing the ball forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so when we start talking about the shop a little bit here that we're in, because I remember when I first started watching you, it was on Instagram. And I remember
because I walking in here this morning, I just saw the space, and I was like, okay, I'm vaguely trying to remember, because I know part of that textile printing was out here, right?
Yeah, and so now that's all on the other side of this wall here.
There's
a whole bump out back this way. That's my wife's studio. So when I first started the wood shop, this was all the textile printing studio. Mm. And there's a wall on that end of the shop with a little one-car garage. Mm. And when I started playing around with woodworking, I set that up as a wood shop. And that's actually like the bench over there is original. That's what I built when I first started the shop. And the miter saw is in the same place. Basically where that line is, that unpainted line on the floor over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Right over?
Over here.
Here. Gotcha. Oh, so your shop was just in here.
Just this was all that the shop
was. Oh, is that cool?
And then at one point I was like, I need a little bit more space. So we moved the wall for the printing studio back to here.
Yeah. Oh.
And so I had a little bit more space. And then eventually I was like, you know what? We're going to build you your own space on the back and I'm going to take over everything. So
bad to the bone.
And I just took over the whole thing.
Wow. It's just nice to see the progression of everything.
Yeah, but it's nice because the other side, the addition we did, has vaulted ceilings.
Yeah.
So I bumped into that a little bit, so I have the ceiling height back here for wood storage.
Oh, wow.
So that actually goes back into the addition so I can store boards that go up in there, which is nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. So you got the shaper workstation, huh?
You like how fancy this is?
That is fancy.
Those are unmilled scrap pieces of maple.
I love it.
Held on with drywall screws from the bottom. And then I just plop this up there and fine woodworking.
I love it. I love it because this really makes sense.
I got this one day. Hopefully I'll have enough money to actually buy the shaper oil. But for now,
this is just a nice workspace.
I got this set up, yeah. It's a good place. See, look, it's got this added feature where...
Oh, dude, look at that.
Huh?
That's about
and
perfect.
And this is adjustable, too. If that's the wrong height, carpal you tunnel can just, risk, you can lower it or raise it.
Oh, look at that. Oh, and this is the good MDF that soaks up that residue on the outside, the condensation. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So one day I'll get the machine.
I have the machine, okay.
Okay, hey, so some of you are just listening to this in the car on Apple and Spotify and all the other platforms. You gotta go see what we're talking about on YouTube. So check it out. So we're in the corner of the shop here, and I really like this clamp rack, but I really like the whiskey bourbon rack.
Yeah, well, in my mind, by the time you get to clamping, you're done with the power tools. And so at that point, it's okay to enjoy a glass of bourbon because you're not using anything dangerous. I mean, you might clamp your finger up, but you clamp a thing, sanding, gluing. So usually the end of the day.
You just plop something here?
Plop. Plop some bourbon down and yeah.
That's a good word, plop.
I know, Keith kept making fun of me for using the word plop.
So what's inside?
Oh, well, I hide the expensive stuff inside.
Oh. Look how cool that is. Look at that.
Just more clamps and glue. People said I should have put the bourbon on the inside, but
no way.
They're wrong. And then I had this backspace here and I was like, I'm gonna paint that green, and now we got a little green screen so we can do green screen stuff for videos.
I was gonna ask that. That's pretty cool. Wow. A place for everything and everything in its place. I love it.
Yeah, slowly getting more organized.
Yeah, man. So. That's the name of the game. It saves time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why we have sustainers.
Sustainers,
system containers.
Oh.
I see you have a few over there.
Yeah.
How long have you been using the Festool?
Oh man, years probably. When I first started out, I bought a lot of secondhand tools because I didn't know what I was buying. And my first chop saw was a Ryobi.
Ooh.
And it was an old Ryobi. It was back before the colors were green. It was blue and yellow.
I had a
Remember
Ryo-
the old oh, colors?
Oh, no. I had a Ryobi drill my wife bought me for Christmas.
Yeah.
And everybody laughed at me in the cabinet area I was building in. But guess what? It worked.
Yeah.
You know?
And I didn't know like what a good chop saw was or not, and I started doing like mitered frames and stuff, and that's when I realized this thing's not accurate at all. And I put a straight edge on the fence, and it was like all bent in. So then I started researching what's the best miter saw you could buy, because I was like, if I'm going to buy one, I just want to buy. And that was the first time I ever heard of Festools. I found some YouTube video of a guy reviewing the Capex.
No kidding.
I was like, okay, buy that.
For sure.
So.
Yeah. Once you start using the Capex, it's really, and you go and use another miter saw out there from somebody, another manufacturer, I'm like, wow, I always tell people how spoiled I am, because mm-hmm. it's such a great
well,
saw.
Well, I knew I wanted a sliding miter saw, yeah. and that's nice because it's not as deep as all the other sliders, yeah. so you can still put it up against the wall. And
maybe he should become a Festool trainer. He knows more about the saw than I do.
Yeah.
So you get some...
It's got the trenching feature in there I use all the time.
I always forget to talk about that, yeah. too.
I hey, like that thing.
Remind me when we're at Woodcrafters this week that I got to start talking about that stuff.
You know what I used the trenching feature the other day? What was I building? I forget, but I had angled half-laps that I was doing. So mm-hmm. they're at an angle, which can be a pain on the table saw.
Right.
Because usually with a cross-cut yeah. sled, you can adjust the angle. And you can mm-hmm. do it one side good, but for yeah. the opposite side, it's a pain. So I went over the Capex, and it's really easy to adjust the angle on that. And I basically used the trenching feature to work in from both sides until I had enough material removed that then I could just do it on the crosscut sled and hog out the rest.
Oh, wicked.
Say, it was wicked smart.
Wicked.
Wicked smart. It was a Capex. Yeah.
You got quite the New England accent, don't you?
Dude, I've learned from the best.
Too cool. So when I walked in, I was like, wow, that's really cool. You got one, and I saw that you did a video on this fastener and storage and charging area.
Charging area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So that's pretty cool. And I saw in that big built-in, you guys were using the TID.
Yeah, I switched to all Festool drills and drivers because of the I just wanted the same batteries for everything. And I got the multi-tool, and now I got the TS55, the mm-hmm. battery-powered track saw. So.
Hey, with that, you got the newest version, I think. You got the one with the very thin blade?
Yeah, which is awesome.
It makes a night and day difference.
Oh, my gosh, so much of a difference.
I know.
Especially if you're, like, thicker stuff.
Yeah, well, the thing is with it is, I was always, when I was doing the thicker stuff, I was doing the, I would always break out the 75.
Oh, yeah.
Even for 6/4. And then, man, I started using the 75, and I was like, this is going a little bit slow, because that's still a 2.2 millimeter curve. And then I went and grabbed that TSC with a thinner blade. I haven't looked back since.
Yeah.
I mean, I use my TS75 when I have to waterfall stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think, my only application now, because I don't rip a lot of 8/4.
Yeah, I don't think I've pulled my 75 out of the sustainer since I got that new one.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's just nice that it's battery powered, so you're not tripping over the cord. The one problem, though, is now that I have the battery powered saw,
mm-hmm.
I really should upgrade to the Bluetooth dust extraction yes. hose, because I always forget to turn on the dust extractor.
Oh, so you need the Bluetooth module, because
yeah.
you can actually remote it to the
Bluetooth
battery.
Because with the
other
battery. One, you plug in, and then as soon as you turn the tool on, the dust extractor starts, you don't have to remember it. But with the battery powered
right.
one, I still plug the dust extractor, but if I don't physically turn it on.
That's right.
At the end of my cut, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you need the Bluetooth module.
Should have turned it on. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I, yeah.
If you know anyone who could maybe send me one.
We'll see if we have them in stock when we get back.
Okay.
Boy, this time change has taken a little bit off of me, man. We've been here, what, in two days? It's about 2 days. God, this area is beautiful.
It's pretty.
It reminds me of Maine quite a bit.
You came at a good time, too. This is probably the prettiest time of year.
Yeah.
Just getting into where it's not raining every day, but it's still really green.
Yeah, Shad said you guys get like 4 months of really nice weather, but that's not raining.
See, I like the rain, though. When you yeah. work at a wood shop all day, the mm-hmm. rain doesn't bother
it
me.
It doesn't matter.
I love opening my garage door when it's cold and rainy and just working in here.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's nice.
That's cool. So is this what I think it is? This is part of that river table you exploded, right?
Uh-huh.
How the heck did you come up with this?
I don't know. It was for our 100th video on YouTube,
that's
I
right.
think.
That's right. That's
and so
right.
I was thinking, we got to do something special for our 100th video. And I've always been pretty vocal about my total disdain for epoxy
yep.
furniture. So I thought, well, let's give the people what they want and pour some epoxy. And then originally I was going to light it on fire. But I thought, epoxy is just going to melt and that's going to be gross. So I wanted to figure out a way to explode it
mm-hmm.
So we started calling like demolition companies to see if we could hire somebody to come in and professionally blow the thing up. And the first person we called actually happened to be a subscriber to our channel.
Kiddo.
And so he was really nice, and he basically said, hey, you don't want to hire someone to do this professionally because they're going to have to go through and get all this paperwork, and you're going to get permitted, and you're probably not going to get permission to do it. So he's like, I would just do it and not ask permission.
It's easier to...
But we found a legal way to do it, which was Tannerite. Have you ever seen that stuff?
No.
So you can go, this is crazy to me, you can go into any sports warehouse store and buy this stuff by the pound, and it's a high explosive, but it can only be charged or triggered if you shoot it with a higher powered rifle. And so I think you need like a pound to blow up a stump. And so we got almost 30 pounds.
Oh my God.
And we strapped it to the bottom of the table and we shot it from about 300 yards away.
You shot that with a high-powered rifle?
Yeah, 30-06. We just didn't show it in the video because YouTube's a little iffy about you know, showing guns and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We didn't want to get demonetized, so.
Way cool. Yeah. Boy, that was just so funny. I love the pots and pans on you guys' heads. And you had Jonathan Katz Moses in there.
Yeah.
It was. You guys got to watch the video because one of my favorite videos, I think we called out in episode 6 with you on Shop Talk, was the Bespoke Pallet Build.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys seen that one? You got to go see it because it's like the funniest thing. You cut up the Jeff Mack table.
Yeah.
And you made a pallet.
Artisan pallet. And we sold it to Paul Jackman for $6,000. And he tore it apart and made coasters out of it or something.
Did he really?
Yeah.
does he have that video?
Yeah. He made... remember those little slide puzzles with the squares that you have to move around? He made a giant one of those out of the pallet. So he pulled it apart and cut it into pieces.
Well, we're over here by the Capex, and I was just thinking out loud. Let's circle back to what I was talking about earlier. I was watching that live, and you have that for your Patreon people or the I always mix that up. I know they're patrons on Patreon. They come in from Patreon.
It confuses me too.
All the time.
The people.
You're running a contest now.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about that.
So basically the contest is we have three levels of patrons. We got like our lower, middle, and top tier. You have to be a top tier patron to enter the contest. And basically what it is you fill out a form, you give an idea for a project that you want to build. The project has to be tentatively be able to be built within the span of 5 to 7 days.
Cool.
And then if you're picked, we'll fly out to wherever you are, build the project with you. You get $1,000 for materials to go towards the project. And you don't have to have a wood shop. Like if you have a drill and a skill saw and that's it, we'll build it with whatever you have. And that'll be kind of the fun part about it is we probably aren't gonna have a full wood shop.
Yeah.
And so we'll do a whole video on the thing. It'll be on YouTube and you get a piece built with us. I mean, you're going to have to work too. We're not doing everything.
No, but the sweat equity will go into it as well. But I was blown away because I just think that's like one of the most killer contests I ever heard of, prizes. But you guys only had, I think Monday, you guys went live. It was, you only had 63 entries or something like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why wouldn't?
But it means your chances are pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Huh, I might have to enter.
I feel like a lot of people are intimidated to enter because they don't have a full shop, but I honestly think it would be more fun for somebody that just has basic tools. It'd be fun to, I love that kind of stuff, trying to figure it out, you know?
Well, that's what the premise of those builds, those maker builds we did, which you were part of with Rubio Monaco.
Yeah.
we remember? It was like, do we have a table saw? You were in the first one.
There was a table saw, but I remember somebody had set it up on some piano dollies. So as you're cutting stuff through, you're like wheeling around with the table saw.
It was crazy. When I showed up, we had two clamps.
Yeah.
And we had to run out and get clamps.
Yeah.
And now Bessie has sent them a bunch of clamps. And you wouldn't recognize the shop down there now, Jason.
We got a little setup. Because I think we were the first one.
You were in the first group.
OG.
Oh, my God. Did we have fun with that, man?
That was such a good time.
Yeah. And I always get nervous in the beginning of those because I say, okay, look at all this raw material. I don't think we have all the tools we needed back then.
Yeah.
And to this day, I mean, we still need some stuff down there. We found out this year, but it's cool because we're going to, it just keeps progressing, but it always ends up where we have two fantastic pieces to raffle off at charity.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
Yeah, it always is.
That's where, at that first one, because Jeff Mack was there, and it was over a beer one night that we both came up with the idea for the bespoke palette. So that's what started that. And then he sent me that river table slab, and I cut it into pieces.
So. Yeah, and it was cool because every time I go there, I just meet a whole new group of people, and they become friends, and it's just been great. And a lot of them have been on the festival shop talk.
Yeah,
it's kind of neat. Cool. Mr. Hibbs, I know how busy you are, and I want to thank you. And Festool thanks you.
Thanks, Brian.
He was waiting. He was waiting. Thank you so much. Yeah. We really appreciate your time. We just love chatting with you. We came to Portland to do a Festool Live this coming up Friday, and we said, man, we got to go see Mr. Hibbs. So thank you.
Dude, you guys are always welcome. Oh, you know that.
Thanks.
I got to come out and see you. Oh. Your setup sometime. We'll go to Indiana.
We've been talking about that.
You know, I've got some Indiana heritage.
You do?
Yeah, my mom was born in Indiana.
What part?
Upland.
Upland.
Ooh. Upland, Indiana.
Upland Wheat by Upland Brewery in Bloomington has got some killer brews.
Killer.
But I've heard.
Good.
So I've heard that. I don't drink too much.
Oh, yeah.